And our one-on-one candidate interviews continue. A chance to get to know the candidates a little bit better, not in a debate format, just an interview format to find out really, you know, who they are, what they're all about. And joining me here in the studio, we have got Alan Dollison, who is running for district attorney. Good morning.
Good morning, Cliff. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks for agreeing to come in. So I like to always start off by giving you a chance to give us a brief background on who you are.
Sure. I am 47 years old, native Californian. I was born in Los Angeles. Been here in Humboldt County since 2006 when I came up to work in the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Educated down in Southern California at Cal State Fullerton and Western State University College of Law. Fully a third of my career I spent in the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office, where I did very serious cases like rape, robbery, sexually violent predator, murder, those sorts of things. Done about 35 jury trials throughout my career. Also proud of my service in the Army Reserve. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. Just recently was selected to be a battalion commander in the Army Reserve. Served in both the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm very proud of my community involvement. I am currently the vice president of the North Coast Stand Down Board, an organization that you actually are involved with, Cliff. And I'm also a proud member of the Mad River Honor Guard, and that is a group of folks that served previously in the military, and we perform military honors for fallen veterans by doing a folding of the flag presentation as well as a three volley rifle salute. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell, probably a lot more, but.
Okay, and if I could have you back away just a little from the microphone, because it's very sensitive, and it pops those plosives pretty well. So let me ask you, if elected district attorney, what are your priorities?
Well, certainly priorities are to fix the funding, the staffing, the resourcing of the office. All four of us at one point in time worked there. We all four worked together simultaneously. So we know the challenges that are in place. One of the fascinating things that I found out in this campaign was the fact that over the last couple of years, the district attorney's office has not even really turned in a budget to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors CEO actually had to develop it themselves. And that creates a little bit of a problem in that the person that are approving your funding are also doing your budget. You know, you want to advocate for as much funding as possible. There are basically more public defenders than there are district attorneys. Sometimes they've received increased funding. There's nothing wrong with public defenders. That's a great and admirable job. I ran a public defender's office outside of Sacramento, but it is not normal to have the public defender's office be better funded than the DA's office. And the reason is because the DA's office has to prosecute all the cases where the public defender's office only has to handle most of the cases. So I certainly would like to fix both the funding of the office, get some increased funding. I'd like to fix the grants in the office. There's a situation where several key grants have been lost. The grants actually exist, but they no longer are funding attorneys in the office on a full-time basis for the Drug Task Force or the child abuse prosecutor at all. And that's very, very important because drugs and child abuse are a big problem in this county. And so I would work to ensure that those grants are better managed and we get more grants. And I've started the dialogue with elected officials, both Jared Huffman as well as one of the assembly candidates, to work with those folks to say, look, if I get elected, we need to find ways to better fund the office.
So in terms of policy and operation, how would you differ from the current administration?
Well, I think that right now the situation in the office is they're just kind of treading water because there's so many cases, so much violent crime. I think we just had our fourth murder of the year, the one down in Garberville. I happen to live across the street from the double murder that happened in Eureka. And what I would do is I would work with the young attorneys that are mostly in the office right now. Only one of them actually has done a homicide trial to completion, and I would work with mentoring them. I would ensure that there is uniform case evaluation that is going on. That's important because with different DAs making different decisions, sometimes it leads to unequal justice. And you kind of see that in the news frequently. I would ensure that policies are put in place in terms of what is a correct and appropriate plea bargain. And I would certainly review and approve any plea bargain in a serious or violent felony, because I think that that's not really happening at this point in time. But we need to fix the staffing. The one thing I'm absolutely convinced of, there's four good attorneys that are running for this office. We all have our strengths. However, if you don't improve the funding and the resources and get an appropriate number of attorneys that used to be in the office, not one of us will be able to resolve the problems in the office. It'll just continue on in its current situation, which I think poses a danger to the safety of the community.
You mentioned plea bargains.
Yes.
What is your position regarding plea bargains?
Well, plea bargains, of course, are absolutely a necessity. I think nationwide, 95% of all cases resolve in a plea bargain. I think in Humboldt County, the figure is a little bit lower. So there's certainly nothing wrong with plea bargaining. I think the goal of a prosecutor should be the person should be pleading guilty to the most serious offense that you could be able to prove in a court of law. And so there's nothing wrong with that. What sometimes can cause controversy is when a crime is pled down, sometimes significantly, as it happened in one particular case, of course, that people call into question the decision-making and wondering why. One of the things I always told jurors, I said, you know, the jury system's a great system because it's much better than just letting a government official choose and decide what happens. So some cases, in particular murder cases, I believe, if you can prove murder, I believe it needs to go to trial. If there are evidentiary issues or factual issues or legal issues, then sometimes a plea bargain would be appropriate. But I would put in place a system where the plea bargains are fair. It's helping to move the justice system along, which is absolute necessity, but one that inspires confidence in our criminal justice system rather than ridicule and shame, which is, I think, what we have far too often now.
Now, you mentioned, of course, that you have, there are four of you running for this position, all qualified. How do you differ from your opponents?
Well, in a leadership change in the office, I was actually selected to be the number three position in the office. That occurred in 2011, and that was a position I held until I left the office in January of 2013. And that was called the chief prosecutor. Some offices call it the chief deputy. So I was actually chosen over my three other opponents for that position. So I do have that leadership experience. I have the necessity of good trial experience. I did the very prominent case called Brian Fiore, and that was a case where marijuana growers were the victim of a violent home invasion robbery, and an individual who was shooting an AK-47 at law enforcement was subsequently murdered by his co-conspirator. Those are two not very popular victims when you look at it from that standpoint, but I still stood up for justice. But I believe also my leadership and management skills in the U.S. military. I've spent over half my life, 25 years, in the U.S. military, and I was just chosen for to be a battalion commander, which is a rare honor. It'll be a battalion of reserve drill sergeants who serve as substitute teachers, if you will, for the active duty drill sergeants. And so I'm very proud of that assignment, very proud of the fact that my leadership skills have been recognized and have been honored at different aspects of my career. And I've also ran a law office. I ran a public defender's office outside of Sacramento. So I think those are some unique skills. It's not just who's the best trial lawyer, because if the DA is in court nonstop trying cases, that's not going to inure to the benefit of the office, because there's other things like budgets and grant funding and meeting people and working with the different individuals in our county government to solve our problems.
Now, I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't address the elephant in the room, and yes, that is all of the press that you have gotten regarding your misconduct. Yep. Do you want to comment on that?
Happened 17 years ago. It's certainly something that I'm not very proud of. I think I've acknowledged it and discussed it both on the Lost Coast Outpost site. I announced it and discussed it in my opening statement, and it's something that it's been here since the day that I have arrived. But what I've done is I've done my best to learn from my mistakes, and I believe you learn from your failures more than your successes in life, and I believe I've moved on, and people that know me and have known me for years know that what I did back then is not who I am today. So I feel that I've moved on. It's something I try not to dwell on, but I don't believe that it should serve as a disqualifier for me for this office. Because the people that know me as a serious position and a very hard working, committed, and dedicated advocate, and that I will bring that zeal and that desire to the office if I'm elected.
But not only do we have the 16 counts of misconduct, but we also have the falsified documents in that one case. Has restitution ever been made to that person?
Absolutely. Restitution was ordered, and I fully paid the and returned those fees back to the client. So that was a part of the resolution of that overall case.
Okay. Enough said on that. Marijuana, of course, is a big part of the economy here in Humboldt County. It's a big part of the community. How would you handle cases against growers, sellers, and users?
You know, I think we're on a trajectory towards legalization. I only hope that we choose the right method to legalize. There's an initiative that they're currently circulating to try to get placed on the ballot called the California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. It would actually prevent marijuana from being taxed. It would have unlimited amounts. It would make it legal to provide marijuana to children if a doctor were to so recommend. And then lastly, it would provide immunity to criminal or to business organizations or corporations. And I think that that's kind of the wrong approach. Rather, if we do go the legalization position, I would hope that we look at where it might have been working. For example, Colorado, I have a good friend I went to kindergarten with who's a conservative Republican, but he's also a recreational marijuana user. And I've talked to him both about their medical marijuana law, which has been on their books almost about the same amount of time as California's as well. As their recent legalization initiative. And I think that those practices have worked well. The issue in the office is law enforcement's attracted to the marijuana because it generally provides resources, funds, bank accounts, cash, that sort of thing, which are used for asset forfeiture. And so that becomes a very, very popular funding mechanism of law enforcement. And so that's why law enforcement doesn't want it legalized. And quite frankly, the grower community doesn't want it legalized. Making it illegal keeps the price high. The price has actually declined quite a bit. I would not use the priorities of the office to go after what I think are commonly referred to as mom and pop grows. Rather, I would focus on cartel grows, dangerous environmental grows, and would really ensure that where there's water diversion, where there's spilled fuel, rat poison, DDT, all those really very serious and dangerous effects that are out there, that we go after those cases with vigor. And the smaller marijuana growers, which quite frankly have been around in Humboldt County for a long period of time, should have nothing to fear.
Who's endorsing your campaign?
You know, I'm endorsed by a wide swath of the community. I have the endorsement of Councilman Dean Glazer from neighboring Fortuna here. I'm proud to be endorsed by John Groby, the retired chairman of the Humboldt State University Economics Department. I'm proud to be endorsed by Mary and John McCarthy. They're a husband and wife team on the McKinleyville Union School District Board of Trustees. Mary and I worked in the DA's office together, so I actually do value her endorsement because she worked with all four of us. Warren Tyndall, somebody who I serve with in the Mad River Honor Guard, And I have a very, very wide swath. I have a former member of the legislature, people in veterans groups, kind of a wide swath, both people on the left and people on the right. And so I think that that's a good indication that my message is resonating, that I could have people with diverse viewpoints endorse my campaign.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but I'll give you the last 15 seconds to put a cap on our interview.
If you want to learn more about my campaign, go to my website, DollisonFordA. That's DollisonFordA.com. Or also, I have a Facebook page as well.
Alan Dollison, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Cliff.
All righty. And this one-on-one interview will be archived at KHUM.com. You can also view it this evening on Access Humboldt. I believe at 6:30 is when that's going to be taking place on Channel 11, if you're a Suddenlink customer. And tomorrow we will continue our one-on-one interviews. We're going to be talking with candidates for the 5th District Supervisor position. We have got the incumbent, Ryan Sundberg, in at 7:30, and then Sharon Latour will be coming in at 8:30.